I did get a chance to listen to the service from last week, and just thought another notably great message from Brother Ron. I was, you know, just the simplicity of the gospel sometimes is what we need to be reminded of and hear. And again, it's nothing new, but being reminded of what we know to be true, being reminded of what we've been taught and time past is refreshing. It's encouraging, and it's good to have a chance to hear that. So we began this kind of mini section on Lord Teach Us to Pray back in July, the middle of July. And so I thought it would be helpful maybe just for a few moments to review a little bit of where we've been. Because as the summer goes, you know, we're here or we're gone or we're, and I can relate to that myself. So we may not even been here for some of the previous parts. But part one reminded us to pray not to be heard by men, but to be praying for the ears of God. And when we think of our prayers in those terms, that we're not praying, even when I'm praying here, I'm not praying so much that you'll be blessed by that. And that may happen, but I'm praying just my heart to God and what I would seek for him to do, and praying out of a heart of thanksgiving to him and for his ears. And that's how he wants us to pray. He wants us to pray, we learn from that passage just before the one we're going to look at this morning, to pray with humility and sincerity, two keys that we must come to God with. We come to God with humility, recognizing God is God and we are not. Recognizing God is powerful, he is completely holy, he is majestic, enthroned in the heavens, and we are here on earth. And so we come before him with this sense of reverence, this sense of exalting him, of recognizing him as not something common, but something far different from, far better from who we are. So there's humility that should be a part of our prayers. And then there also needs to be sincerity, because really, God knows our hearts. He knows our needs before we even make them known to him. He knows our hearts. And if we're trying to impress somebody, or we're even trying to impress God, he's not impressed. He may be impressed by a humble and contrite heart. He may be attentive to that. But he's going to be, whoa, I didn't know that about this person. He's not going to express himself that way, because he knows us fully and completely. So any pretense that might be included in our prayers, God sees right through that. We don't need to approach God with King James English, because that's not what's naturally in our heart necessarily. So just speak to God as we would speak to a dear friend, because that's who God should be to us. When we pray, we should be honest with God and share our feelings with him. And that means even if we have some doubts, we're not going to be able to hide that from God, so don't try. If we are going through a rough time and we're like, God, I know your word says this, but I'm just not seeing that. Let God hear that from you. Read the Psalms and see how many times the psalmist just pours out things before God that were like, whoa, didn't you know that he is there, dude? I mean, didn't you know that he's going to be with you? And when you get toward maybe the end of that psalm, it comes through, yes, God is my strength. He is my rock, my shield, my fortress. God is not intimidated by you being honest with him. He's actually, I think, quite frankly, glad that you're being willing to be honest with him. So when we pray, we can pray in a closet, and maybe you have a place at home that's, or a place outdoors somewhere that's kind of your place to go and pray. But if you don't pray in a closet, pray as if you are. And by that, I mean, pray as if nobody but God is going to hear you, because that's who you really want to connect with. And the God who hears in secret will reward us. In part two, Jesus began this section with, pray like this. So not necessarily pray these words, not necessarily pray this exact prayer every time, but pray like this. So what did that mean? Well, we're to recognize him as our Father, as our Heavenly Father, as and the terms used here are terms of endearment, as dearest Father, somebody that you have great love and admiration and respect for. He's our Father collectively. He's our Heavenly Father. He resides in heaven. He's eternal. And as such, we approach him, as I'd already mentioned, with that reverent respect. Respect like we have for no other person on earth. We pray for his coming kingdom and that his will would be done as swiftly and as completely here on earth as it must certainly must be in heaven. And so now we get to the passage before us this morning, and I invite us to read this together again. We're going to do the passage from 9 to 15. So would you stand with me as we read this passage together again from the ESV, verses 9 through 15. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. So, trying to think of a question for us for this morning. What are things that we would consider to be daily essentials? Food, water, sleep, shelter, hair. I don't know. The thinner I get, the more I can do without it. I don't know. Oh, air. I'm just going to say. Hearing is another good one. Essential, maybe not, but helpful, certainly. So air, yes. Clothing.
Love.
Yeah. Yeah.
A job.
Or some work of some kind. Yeah. All right. So obviously there are things that are essential. And as we begin to look at our passage, we're pretty much starting there at verse 11 on give us this day our daily bread, and working down from there as we'd covered the part previous to that in a previous message. So interesting little tidbit that I found as I was studying on this, the term that's translated here, daily bread, is the term that we know about because Jesus used it in his prayer and only from there. It's used nowhere else in Scripture, except it might be used there in Luke when Jesus makes the same, the same prayers being talked about, but only in regards to this prayer. So daily bread, it's a term referring to present, but also future bread. You know, where give us what we're going to need in the future. Yeah, give us what we need for today, but Lord, also give us what we're going to need in the future. Remember that in those days, when a drought came, and we experienced maybe I don't know if it even reached the approaching mini drought, but here it's been kind of dry until the last week or so, as evidenced by some of the at least corn around that I've seen. But fortunately, we've gotten some rain here as of late. I'm not sure if it's in time for the corn or not, But in those days, if an area had a drought, they didn't have food storage like we have today. They didn't have a freezer full of beef or vegetables or whatever you have in your freezer. They didn't have current methods of food storage, and so food may not last for very long should they enter a time of drought. Just read this week the book of Ruth and how Naomi had to go to the land of Moabite because there was a severe drought in the area. So if you were going to eat, that meant you had to leave where you lived and go to another place where there was not a drought. And so daily bread maybe meant something a little more vital, a little more essential to them, and they didn't maybe take it quite as for granted as what we might today. And bread wasn't a term that was referring just to the loaves sometimes that we have on a table down the hall or that we would have in our cupboard where it's, you know, sliced nicely for us and we spread. Nancy made some incredibly great peach jam yesterday. You know, you spread that on the bread. It's not that kind of bread that it's talking about. It's bread is a reference to really any kind of sustaining food. So it could be meat, could be bread, could be vegetables, could be what have you. But bread was a kind of an all-encompassing term that they would use for food in that day. So dependence on God for this bread, this recognizing that it was by his providence that daily bread was available, that's what's indicated here, and that prayer that would remain the case in the future. But another way that we can think of this is not just the sense of physical food, but that spiritual food would come from God and his word on a daily basis. And we have access to that today like they didn't in that day. So maybe that's a little more important to us, that we take advantage of that resource and that we pray that God will feed us daily from his word. And we help God in that venture if we at least open it up and look at it. So we need to be doing that on a regular basis, but then also praying that God will make himself known in spiritual food from his word on a daily basis. Do we really see that as essential as we do the physical sustenance that we get? It's interesting here that forgiveness of our debts or sins is included in the same thought as daily bread. And if you look at your Bible, it's probably not separated by a period. It's probably a comma that the sentence continues. So there's that sense of, well, the dailiness of the bread applies to the dailiness of our need for forgiveness. And is not that true for all of us? But it's interesting the way he put those two things together. If we'd be honest, we'd recognize that our need for forgiveness is every bit as regular and consistent as our need for physical food. It's a daily, even hourly need that we have. In order for us to have close relationship with the Father, we need that regular forgiveness. Now, some might say, well, if we're not willing to forgive others, then we can't even be forgiven for salvation before God. That's not what Jesus is getting at here. Forgiveness for salvation is something that God offers to us out of his mercy and grace. And yes, we need to come to him and we need to confess our sins and repent of them to receive that forgiveness. But what Jesus is talking about here, not just in verse 12, but in verses 14 and 15, is that daily need for forgiveness, because daily we are sinning. Daily we are maybe at a place where we might be sinning against others around us. And so that need for forgiveness is a daily kind of thing. And that's where Jesus is saying that if we're not willing to forgive others, that daily need for forgiveness is not going to be met for us, because those prayers aren't answered by God for our forgiveness, because we've been unwilling to extend that to others around us. Christians of all people should have an awareness of the unworthiness that we have received our forgiveness. I think the girl's song kind of indicated that, but Scripture is a great indicator of that as well, that we are undeserving. The grace is unmerited favor. There's no point along the way in which we deserve that grace. We can never clean ourselves up and get ourselves to the place where, okay, well, maybe now God can forgive me. The only condition of that is the condition of our heart in being submitted to God and being willing to admit with God that, yeah, we are sinners in need of forgiveness. We are sinners in need of redemption of the kind that only God can give us. And our salvation is one thing, but this daily interaction with God and with our fellow man, that's where this part comes to play about forgiving others and being forgiven to the extent that we're willing to do that for others. And if we're willing to do that, if we're willing to extend that forgiveness to one another, then that prayer for our own forgiveness is heard by God and that's extended to us. None of us here can say, well, that's too much. You know, what they've done, you don't understand. I just can't forgive. Because our example for this is God Himself. Our example for being willing to forgive is the very offenses that we've committed against God and that we're committed against Christ. And what is our example in this is that He is willing to forgive even from the cross those who nailed His hands to the cross, saying, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. They don't understand the scope of what it is they're doing. So, Lord, don't hold this against them. And maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been wronged in some way. But not as bad as Christ was, I would venture to say. And can we not offer forgiveness? A week or so ago, I wrote newsletter article expands on this thought a little bit more, but the thought of being generous. I'd read that verse in Proverbs about, you know, one gives and he has still more, and the other one withholds and what he has he loses, or something to that effect. And that was in regard to more tangible assets and monies and things like that. But is not the same true in forgiveness? That if we're willing to forgive others, that comes back to us in spades. But if we're withholding of that, then it's hard maybe for others to forgive us, and certainly it's hard for God to offer that daily forgiveness that we need. Therefore, we should be willing to offer the same forgiveness that we've known to others. To the extent that we are willing to do that for others is the degree to which our prayers for daily forgiveness will be heard by our Heavenly Father. One of the places that I'm reading right now is Jeremiah. And time again, Judah is warned of what is coming unless they turn and repent. Not only are they warned of the disaster that is coming, but that it can be avoided if only they will repent and turn to Him. They are promised a great blessing as well if they will return to Him. He talks of restoring to them the fortunes of Israel and of Jerusalem. So if we are still drawing breath, if we are still here on this earth, we have time and the ability to forgive others and to restore that right relationship between us and the Father. So we may need to call on the Father to help us. Maybe it's something that's been really difficult for us to consider forgiving. But to call upon God, say, God, help me forgive this person like You've forgiven me, like You've forgiven so many people, Lord. Help me in this to forgive. Now, forgiveness doesn't mean that we will never, ever think again of what was done to us. But what it means is that we won't hold it against them. Maybe we won't put ourselves in the same place where we can be hurt easily the same way again and again, but we'll stop dwelling on that in our minds. And just like any other sin of the mind, that when our mind goes to want to hold that sin against someone again, that we'll say, God, that's taken care of, and let's move my mind on to something else that's more positive and helpful. We'll stop bringing it up in conversation with others. Oh, remember how so-and-so did this to me. We'll erase it off the books as a debt that they owe to us, just as God does in our case. When we sin and we ask God for forgiveness, it's not that we think a God as almighty and as all-powerful and all-knowing as our God is could ever forget what we did. But he will not hold us against us ever again. The slate is wiped clean. And if that thing that we did years ago that still haunts us flares back up on our mind, it's not God bringing it to our remembrance. It's the devil wanting to defeat us, wanting to push us down and remind us of the creature that we once were. But God does not throw that up in our face. The closing thought of this pattern of prayer is this: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The recognition here is that we trust God to do that more than we do ourselves, because we know we can very easily lead ourselves into temptation. We don't have a great track record. The need for our daily forgiveness is evidence of this, that we often wander into temptation. Paul writes this, though, in 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is a verse that I learned in Bible school at a young age, that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. One of the things that I noted as I was reading through that passage again is that the permission of God is necessary for us to be tempted. Notice it says, he will not let us be tempted beyond our ability. So who's limiting that? Who's preventing that? God is. He's not the tempter, that's the devil. But God sets the boundaries. He sets the perimeters on how much we can be tempted, and will always, when we are tempted, provide us a means of escape. We may not take it, but it's there. It's up to us to take the escape route, but it will always be there. Well, these are the components that Jesus tells us should be involved in our praying. He simply says, pray then like this. Pray humbly, recognizing our Father and his greatness and his holiness in heaven, that he's set apart, that he's exalted, that he is our Father, that he is our provider, that we want to see his kingdom come not just in heaven but on earth and even in us. We recognize that he is the giver of daily bread and pray that he will continue to do so, and not just physical bread, but spiritual bread as well. And we pray that he will help us to be forgiving as he has been forgiving to us. Pray then like this. There are times when our prayers may be shorter or may be for more specific things, and they won't follow this pattern. But when we are in a time of prayer, in our closet, or when we have set aside that time each day to pray, we're being conversational with God, lifting up others, lifting up things in our own life. Pray like this. Pray in this manner. Don't forget the forgiveness part. That actually may be the thing that is hindering our prayers, if we're finding our prayers bouncing back to us off the ceiling. Pray and do your part on the spiritual daily bread portion as well. Be reading your Bible. Spend time in the Word on a regular basis. Spend time in prayer on a regular basis too. Remember, Jesus didn't say, if you pray. He said, when you pray. And with that, let's pray. Father God in heaven, creator of this earth, of each one of us, giver of life and of breath, we exalt you today. We recognize your goodness, your greatness, your kindness to us, that reckless love that drives you to pursue us. Lord, we come before you this morning recognizing our own weakness in so many of these areas that, Lord, sometimes it's just really hard to forgive. But may we see you as our example in that. See it as an act of kindness that is within us to be able to forgive and help us in that. Lord, help us to not wander into temptation on our own. And Lord, we know you'll prevent us from being tempted beyond our ability. But Lord, when we wander that direction and you allow us to be tempted, Lord, we know you'll be faithful to provide a way of escape. Lord, help our prayers to be better formed, better modeled by what you've given us, that we don't forget our position before you, we don't forget our need for you, but Lord, we are aware of all those things at all times. May your name be exalted, may your word be exalted, and may it be present and lived out in our lives, Lord. We pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.